I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Professor who admits lying about being black won't be teaching this semester at George Washington University, according to the Washington Post. Jessica Krug, she taught African and Latin American studies, is being replaced but has not yet been fired. We certainly want the classes to continue, and we're going to see if it's possible. We're looking to see if we can find a replacement in a Thursday essay. Krug admitted to being white and Jewish, and from Kansas City, and said she should be canceled for her audacious, deceptive lies. The New York writer and activist Sophia Quintero responded with a tweet saying that nothing says white privilege like trying to orchestrate your own cancellation. Our Men's Room blank question, once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-RA.
Did it say what Caribbean country she was supposed to be from?
No, she, so I read a longer article about this chick, and she'd said she would change her identity, so to speak, like once every 2 or 3 years. So there was a while where specifically she was simply a black chick from the Caribbean. Then she went and basically was like a Latina from, I don't remember what country she used for that, but then decided in the end it was easier to come off as being black. So she went to being the black Caribbean woman again. But she's from Kansas City.
If you can teach any kind of history, it doesn't matter to me what walk of life you come from. It doesn't matter. As long as you know the subject and you can teach it to me. But the idea of portraying yourself as somebody else,
that's the difference.
That's the problem.
My history teacher never called himself a World War II veteran, but he had no problem teaching me about World War II, right?
Yeah, 100%.
That's all.
Yeah. Men's Room blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, I'm kind of making a live confession right now on national radio.
All right.
I, in my early 20s, a group of us, it must have been 10, maybe a dozen of us, went out to party on a little island where I grew up. It was common to take boats out and go to islands and party. And we burned said island down.
You burned the island down?
Yeah, all the vegetation on the island, trees, anything that was green, burned. It was just a black rock after that.
Was this a popular little island or just your guys' spot?
No, there's a ton of islands where I grew up. It's an island chain, Southeast Alaska. So, you could see the island from town. So if you looked across the waterway, the island was down, the view after that was just a giant black rock.
So let me guess.
What had it deal to do with BLM and all them?
I would assume that this made the news. So what did they speculate had happened?
Basically what it was, a bunch of stupid kids out partying, left a bonfire going, and burned said island down.
So when you guys left, the bonfire was going, nothing necessarily was going wrong. The next day you find out that it smoldered and the entire island caught fire? Or
basically, yeah. Okay. We thought we got it out, but the fire, it ignited overnight, and then everything just caught on fire. Once the heat got to it, everything just took off. It wasn't a huge island, but it was big enough to be an eyesore.
I mean, it's an island, though. Yeah. You don't have to burn down Hawaii for it to be a problem.
Right. Seems to me weird, like, to have a fire in Alaska.
What do you mean?
It just seems so far north and cold. And, you know,
wouldn't
snowy.
You want a fire?
What's that?
Wouldn't you want a fire?
I would want a fire. What I'm saying is it just seems strange that you could catch something on fire to the
Oh, extent. I see what you're saying.
You know right, what I'm right. saying? Men's Room Blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, when I was in the fifth grade, the summer before my sixth grade year, my dad, my mom, my sister, and I, we took our motorhome and did the perimeter of the United States and a couple of states interior. And so we're on our trip, and my dad, you know, wants us to hit all the great landmarks, so we hit Yellowstone. And so we're in Yellowstone, and right before it gets dusk, the ranger comes around. He's got a loudspeaker on top of his little truck, and he says, "Hey, by the way, everybody, please make sure that you put all your food away. Bears will come into these campsites if there's food." So, of course, you know, my dad's very diligent. I want to make sure everything's cleaned up and all that. And right before we went to bed, I told him I'd left something outside, and I grabbed a loaf of bread, and I put it on the picnic table out there in front of the motorhome because I wanted to see some bears. So, lo and behold, about 2 hours later, four bears come rolling into our campsite to tear that bread apart. One of them decides that wasn't enough, so he starts leaning on the camper door, pushing on it, and the whole camper's rocking back and forth. My dad's pulling his gun out of the drawer, and he's like, "What the hell is?" And he's looking around, all these bears are around. And about 10 years later at Thanksgiving, I said, "Hey, Dad, you remember Yellowstone?" And he's like, "Well, yeah, of course." I said, "Well, I was the one to put that loaf of bread on the picnic table."
Did he find it funny?
He was silent for about 10 seconds. Then he looked at me and he said, "You little son of a bitch." He was not impressed.
Well, you did see bears. That was your goal.
I got to see four bears, yes, up close.
Is that the only time in your life you've seen bears?
Actually, no, because I've been to Yellowstone about six more times since, and you always see a bear when you go to Yellowstone.
So I'm assuming you're not luring them this time. It's just you're in Yellowstone, there's a bear.
Yeah, no, I really, as an adult, realize that luring bears anywhere near you is probably not the most genius thing to do.
No, it's not. But it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to see four bears. How long were these bears in the campsite, and how long were they rocking the RV back and forth?
Only the biggest one, and I don't know, male or female, whatever, he or she was the one that came over to the door of our RV, which was a motorhome, and he just started kind of pushing on the door, but you know, these pretty big damn bear, and he left like crease marks in the door of our RV.
I was going to ask, man. Paws. I mean, like, typically when you're of that age and you're being driven around the country, it sucks.
Yes.
You're in the back seat of a car. You're not stopping unless it's ultimately necessary to pee or to gas up or whatever. Your parents make, you know, crappy peanut butter and jelly sandwiches while you're blowing by McDonald's.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, God, that was painful.
All the bad things that can happen to you as you're a kid. But in this instance, did you actually, because you said you've been back a number of times. Was that one of those trips growing up that really kind of inspired you or, you know what I mean, left a mark? Or was it just living hell?
No. Actually, so my mom had multiple sclerosis, so she was in a wheelchair from the time I was 2 years old. So my dad kind of wanted to get her out into the country and be able to see everything before she passed. But we did everything. I mean, we did the Grand Canyon. We did a crazy horse. We did Mount Rushmore. We did Bedrock City with the Flintstones. We did Disneyland. I mean,
Where's Bedrock City?
You know what? North Dakota, South Dakota, somewhere in there. I can't remember for sure. You guys have to pull it up online.
That's where the Flintstones are from? The town of Bedrock.
Is that what you're telling me? That's where the Flintstones are from? They're from North Dakota?
There's a Flintstones, like, amusement park, or there used to be. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me where the... I know that this is back in time.
Sure,
I just don't know geographically if I could pinpoint the location.
Right, I wouldn't guess.
Of where Fred and Wilma lived. You know, I did not know it was North Dakota. Okay, very good.
Because
it never
it's
snowed.
It's around there somewhere. Never... You guys pull it up online.
Right. It's in Arizona.
If it's still there.
Oh, it's in Arizona.
Yeah,
see that would be a better guess.
It was a Flintstones.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, I can't remember. I was in the fourth grade, going into the fifth. That shows you how much geography I knew back then.
It's a Flintstone themed roadside attraction.
Do they still open for business, or is it closed down?
They close at 6.
Oh, they do close at 6. Well, this is early. We got to get home and get dinner. This is Arizona.
You're going to the Flintstones.
It's a little bit like south of the border, though.
Okay. Men's Room blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ezra. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
Other story, but my grandma, when I was younger, she slipped me $5. I didn't know she did it. She's sitting there in her chair, which she said her all the time. No one else did. She handed me an envelope, and I walked with it downstairs in my room. I came back up, my uncle tearing her chair apart. I'm like, what's the matter? She says, I lost $5 somewhere. And I never told her until she visited my house or something like that. I said, you remember that $5 you couldn't find in your chair? She said, I can't say the rest of it. She said, I went over that thing with, and she blamed my uncle. She said, he said he didn't do it. I didn't believe him.
Okay. You let your uncle take the fall for $5.
Yeah. And also, you know how you like to fart all the time? My favorite one, I was at a store. You know those high blood pressure machines?
Yeah.
I was walked right by the lady, put her arm in it, and just for a squeeze, I let one go. Her look on her face wanted to kill me.
Okay.
What was that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's like I caught it a high blood pressure. Well, the idea is get your blood pressure.
Yeah. Just blood pressure.
You should have got in that machine. How did you know what he was going to say? Who screened that call? How did you know what the story was? Because I couldn't even get through half of it. I was trying to, trust me, man, I'm from a part of the country where you can't understand anybody. What did you understand that was going to be?
He jacked $5 from his grandma.
Okay, all right.
That's the long and short of it.
Okay, all right.
Let his uncle take the
game. He just seemed like he was really close to the phone.
Hey, Thurl.
Men's Room blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Cody. Welcome to the Men's Room.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, Cody?
What's up, Cody?
Oh, it's going good. All right, so basically my story is I used to live with my mom when I was like 16, and me and my buddy went up to his house, and we did some mushrooms. After we did those mushrooms, his mom all of a sudden called him and was like, hey, I'm going to be home in like an hour. So we started to freak out, and we walked down to my mom's house, which was only like 5 minutes away, and we brought some weed with us, but we didn't have a pipe. So we made this little bong, and we ended up like not knowing what to do with it, and we stashed it in her backyard in this water pipe. So like 2 years go by, and then all of a sudden she had to get like some kind of plumbing done on her house, and this guy comes out, and he was like, hey, ma'am, I found a bong in your backyard. And my mom calls me, and she was like, what the hell is this? So I had to describe to her how I made a bong after doing mushrooms and going up to my buddy's house, and that we stashed it in her backyard.
Was she impressed with you?
I mean, kind of. It was like a duct tape bong I made. I mean, it was kind of cool, but at the same time, she was also very embarrassed that the plumbing guy came over and was like, ma'am, I just found this in your backyard.
Yeah, a bong.
Yep.
Yeah. What is this?
Yeah, that's always a weird thing. Parents find drug paraphernalia. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they know it's not theirs, and you're the only kid living at home. Like, well, we're about to have an awkward talk here, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's all right. Something about shrooms, though. We pain in the grass. I don't remember how many years ago. Basically, Castle had been out, I want to say, the night before. All right. But so when we meet up on the Saturday to go down to pain in the grass, he is now just the husk of a man. All right. Like, he has gone out and had a great time, and he's like, dude, I'm going to kind of take it easy today. Anyway, I got this bag of shrooms. I don't even want to look at them. Any of you guys want them? I'm like, oh, hell yeah. So he said, look, just do me one favor. Do not eat these at pain in the grass because they're really, really potent, man. I'm like, oh, dude, you got it. And I mean, within 30 seconds, I'm mowing these things down. But he doesn't know that, all right? So we show up at pain in the grass, and we're backstage, and we're doing all the stuff we got to do. And I'm maintaining pretty well. But then at some point, we have to interview Sully Erna from Godsmack. It just turns out that at this moment that we're going to interview him, the band is about to go on hiatus. They have not announced publicly they're going to go on hiatus, but whatever bad blood's going down the band.
This was like the last show of the tour for them.
It's going down, yeah. and Sully's pissed about whatever, which is his right. It's fine. So I remember it is hotter than hell outside. He shows up to this table. Now, keep in mind, and we have an audience around us because they're going to watch the interview, right, and all this. So Sully shows up. We've never met this guy before. Obviously, we're familiar with Godsmack. He shows up. One, he's shirtless, which is no big deal, except that because I'm tripping on these mushrooms, I couldn't help noticing that it looked like his nipples were melting. All right? It looked like his nipples were, like, crying. Mm-hmm. And so this
they were both pierced, too.
Right. So and, like, I mean, so
yeah, Sully.
My eyes are locked on these melting nipples of Sully Ornette, but he is in a bad mood. He's not being mean to us. It's not even a bad interview. He's just in a bad frame of mind. Kind of throwing the band under the bus a little bit. Like, these are fresh wounds he's going through. And the whole time, and Miles basically has to carry the whole interview because I'm just tripping. And I realize, don't say anything, because if I say anything, I know I'm going to say, hey, man, it looks like your nipples are melting. And I just knew that would derail everything. And Castle also is standing off to the side because he's kind of monitoring the interview. That's his prerogative. So we finish up the interview. Castle pulls me aside. He's like, hey, man. I'm like, what, dude? And I'm trying to be cool. He's like, did you eat those goddamn shrooms? I'm like, yes. It's like, God, like, that's the one thing. Yeah. I said, listen, I'm keeping it together. I'm just telling you, look like his nipples are melting. He goes, you looked like you thought his nipples were melting. That's why I'm asking you. I'm like, sorry, man. Sorry.
Men's Room blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-RAW.
There's certain people you can't give certain things to.
If you're going to hand me drugs, I'm going to do them.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's quick and easy. Man, what, Red Festival last year? This chick's like, hey, man, do you want to smoke with me? And I'm like, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I just smoked. Like, I'm really starting to get high, so no. She goes, well, you want to do some shrooms? I'm like, hell yeah. Now, I walk around the perimeter Red Festival. By the time I made it backstage again, I swear to God, it's like everyone knew I was on shrooms. I will not mention names, but like 8 different people, like, dude, are you shrooming? I'm like, yes. How did everyone here find this the hell out? They're like, because you did it in the middle of the crowd. I'm like, okay, that'll do.
Yeah, I don't think I knew.
You didn't know? Oh, all right. Well, guess what, Ted? I was tripping on shrooms at the last Red
Festival. I thought it was because you were walking around going, I'm on shrooms.
No, I didn't say anything.
That's what I remember. I was like, oh, you bastard. Why don't you give me some?
Well, it was the moment.
Let me find a handful.
Yeah. I have just been somewhere with you, and I'm not picking on you, but you specifically were like, take these. Get them away from me.
What was it?
Oh, maybe like a Christmas party or something.
Oh, all right. Just like, I'm going to keep doing this, so please.
Right, you just spent a lot of time on the deck. And I was like, hey, bro, are you okay? No. I've been coming inside. Like, take them from
me. Exactly. Okay. It's tough to have a conversation with someone who you know, who does not know you're in that state of mind and trying to pull it off. Because you just assume when you're there that everybody knows.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, you think the whole... Right.
You think the world.
Everybody.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I might as well call my mom. She knows.
Mom, I'm tripping.
You're right. I'm right about what? The fact that I'm on shrooms right now. I just figured I'd call you and confirm.
Did you eat a pizza?
Right, exactly.
I think the worst I had, man, I got so high. It was just one Christmas. I'm no longer living with my parents, but I'm going to go there for Christmas Day, right? So I just smoke like a champ. I want to say I'd worked in radio earlier that day. Little man on the totem pole, you're working Christmas. So, I mean, I just get baked. I remember showing up there, and my mom used to throw these massive Christmas parties with friends, family, and I just remember rolling in. Everyone's already a few drinks deep, again, because I had worked earlier. And I walk in there, and I mean, I'm so high. And instantly, I'm like, this is the worst idea I've had. Like, it sucked, man.
Because you're going to have adult conversations.
This is adult conversations. And again, this is with relatives. They don't know you smoke, but friends, parents.
Haven't seen you in a long time, so I want to get caught up on everything.
Oh, my God, man. And I mean, and I'm just getting harassed with questions because, again, I'm fresh in the radio. So they had a lot of questions. You know, how's radio treating you? Is it what you want it to be? Blah, blah, blah. Merry Christmas. I haven't seen you in the whole time. I'm like, Jesus Christ, stop talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say, and I'm just sitting there just sweating. Handshaking, eyes all bugged up. And this is the worst guy. But I can't say anything.
Yeah. You ever seen the guy that does the alien shows and like his hair sticks up real high? So I don't. All right. Or you see like Grandma's Boy. Just picture your typical like cartoon stoner. Right. Just eyes massive.
Oh, yeah. Pupils dilated.
Right. So that story I tell about my buddy that broke his leg and it went through the skin and everything.
Yeah.
So when we're sitting at his house, right, he's on serious pain meds. But he's also, I've got to go have lunch as part of this story. With my whole family, right?
Oh,
and my niece and nephew are little, but same thing. He's just like passing this ball back and forth. And I'm like, sure, man, I'll never see you. Blah, blah, blah. But same thing. Like, as I sit down for the lunch, it's just like, what?
Right.
And it's like, I swear to God, I couldn't speak for like 10 minutes. And you're just like you said, just like drinking water at an excessive rate. Just
yes.
Like, are you okay? What?
Trying to get there.
Oh, just man, I'm just tired.
Right.
Just tired.
And
that's
I asked, like, you know when you ask the wrong question? Because we were at one of those, like, mom and pop, like, sandwich places that, like, my mom likes to go to with her friends. And
right.
Half a sandwich and a cup of soup.
Soup, right.
And I blurted out something like, can we go to Fridays and get a beer?
Yeah. Like, please.
Come on.
Right? Like, I'm so stressed.
I'm not trying to be mean, but I hate this and I'm really high and I can't cope.
And I don't like soup.
Not now. Soup is never, soup, you never get stoned and go, I need soup.
All the munchies I've
all
had.
All the food you've ever had in your life. Bowl of cereal, absolutely.
Boy, I could go for some bisque.
Grilled cheese, sure. No one says, I need soup.
Make it thick and chunky.
Yeah. Our men's room blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're in the men's room. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
PJ and Megs have teamed up with Mary's Place to do some good kicks for kids going on now. Head to KISW.com, donate what you can. Those guys are trying to collect as many new pairs of shoes as possible. And they'll give them to kids in need in the Seattle area, obviously. With the COVID-19, families are being hit hard. There's a lot of homeless kids out there.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have shoes. So Mary's Place are going to take all those donations and let the kids choose the sneakers that they want to wear.
Yes.
So donate what you can. You got $10, $15, $50, hell, head to KISW.com and do some good. Kicks for kids on now. All right, a question. Men's room blank. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Jim. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, men's room.
Hola.
So I'm 10 years old, and I get a new BB gun for my birthday. It's a nice 10-pump Daisy, pretty powerful little BB gun. And I have a 15-year-old brother who wants to go out and have BB gun wars in our woods. We had some woods behind our house. And this little gun that he has is my old gun. It's a one pump, shoot it, kind of a weak gun. So he takes that gun. We go out in the woods. He calls me a couple names, tells me to run. He starts pelting me with this little one pump BB gun. I get about 50 feet away, duck behind a tree. And he's pelting that tree over and over and over. So I pump that thing up three times and I reach my arm around that tree without looking, pull the trigger. And he starts screaming. Yeah. I think it's a ploy, so I kind of sit back there a little bit. But I notice the BBs aren't coming anymore. So I kind of peek around that tree, and he's kneeled down on the ground holding his face.
Oh, man.
And turns out I nailed him right between the eyes with that BB.
Without looking.
Without looking. Put that thing about a quarter inch deep into his forehead. And we had to go back home. And, of course, we made up a lie, told my dad that we were shooting at some old metal out there in the woods, and the BB bounced back and hit my brother between the eyes. And my dad didn't say anything, but he just gave us that look that we were full of S.
Yeah.
And, so my brother popped the BB out, and that was the end of that. And about 10 years later, over some beers, that story came out, and he kind of shook his head, and he said, yep, I knew what you told me was not true.
Yeah, I found myself... Not much, but I realize I'm in that situation. Kid has said something, and I'm looking at my kid like, all right, look, basically, I don't want to make this bigger than it needs to be, but I know you're lying to me. And it, like you're saying, mm-hmm. I'm sure when we have beer years from now, you're going to tell me what actually happened, but I'm going to let it go. right? You've learned your lesson. Because it's always because something that resulted in pain.
Yeah. BBs, yeah, and they hurt, man.
Yeah, they hurt.
We used to have BB gun wars, too. It's just a West Virginia thing. But the one morning, me and my buddy stayed up all night long. And we were just out cruising around. We'd snuck out of the house. We were just being kids, vandalizing stuff, all that stuff. We were in middle school. And in the summer, the middle school marching band, our junior high marching band, they had band practice at 7 a.m. in the morning. 7 a.m. in the morning.
Jesus.
I mean, it was ridiculous.
Because who doesn't want to hear that?
But they marched up and down our street because they were preparing to be in a couple different parades in a couple different places.
It's a residential street.
We are on a residential street. They are practicing, and they practice very early. Band always practices earlier. I don't know what it is about marching bands, but when it's not in school season, where you go after school, it is ridiculously early, all right? So me and my buddy Christian, we come up with this plan. We're like, look, you know what? We've had enough of this. These are our times to sleep in. Tomorrow's going to be one of those times. We'll wake up like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. They've been driving us nuts every morning. It's the same cadence. They're not even playing songs.
Right.
They're just marching to their basic cadence all the time. It gets stuck in your head. You're losing your mind. We decide we're going to dip down in the bushes, and we're going to crossfire at them. And we're going to hit them in the legs. You know what I mean? We're going to aim for the legs. We're taking these guys down. So the marching band comes through. As most marching bands come through, we know our targets. We know that there are flag girls in the front. They are not our targets. They are not the ones causing the problem, all right? Then it goes like flute, clarinet, things of these natures that are more wind instruments toward the front. These are all the attractive girls in our class.
So they're not the target.
These girls are not the target. Now you're getting into the trumpets. Now, if you know anything about trumpets, you know that everyone who plays a trumpet at that age is a douchebag. They are the biggest douchebags in the band. They are the lead guitarist. They are the lead singer. They are the most arrogant A's in the entire band.
We carry the whole tune,
they
bro.
They think their S doesn't stink. First team, or first chair trumpet guy is the worst of them all. We've got our eyes set on the trumpet, followed by French horn, which is some chicks. Yeah. You know, not really our target. Baritone dude, maybe we'll take him down. Then you get to the trumpets, and then the drum line. So our buddies were in the drum line. They're the ones making the most noise.
Of course.
And the tubas, and the trombones. So we wait for the band to go by, man, and we just start lighting them up. So my one buddy, same guy who I was at the strip club with, he plays tuba, okay? And all I see is...
Excuse me, that'd be the sousaphone
yeah.
for marching band.
And all I see is him grab his thigh, go down on one knee, and tumble over with his tuba on the street. They thought they are being stung by bees. So they thought that bees were stinging them because they looked down and there's these welts and they didn't know where the hell they were coming from. They thought that they got into a hive. Like a hive just decided, like, we've had enough, come and attack them. So we kept that quiet up until high school. We didn't say a damn thing about that, man. We're just like, look, man, because we don't want to get, I mean, like, because a couple of these dudes who we hit, you know, they are not exactly our friends, but they are big enough to beat our ass.
Sure.
So, like, you know.
Well, that's what you always tell last.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were also teammates of ours in the football team, like, defensive tackle, offensive tackle.
Right.
The guys playing the big stuff in the back, you know. We just lit their asses up.
You never told them?
We told them in high school.
What was the reaction?
Years later, we just told them we shot them through the woods because they wouldn't shut up. So, whatever. Men's Room Blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, enough time had passed, and I finally admitted that I had backed down from a fight my freshman year high school.
How did you not admit that before? I mean, if people thought you were going to fight, how did you get it? How did you explain this away?
Oh, I mean, like, it was projection on my part. Like, we had major heat, and, you know, there was a bunch of crap talked back and forth. And, finally, he was like, I sent somebody to give him my phone number, to give me his phone number so we could set up time to do it. And I sent that person back with my phone number, and like, well, no, you told him to call me. And, you know, so it happened, there was a stalemate, and eventually it just kind of blew over. And neither one of us pursued it. And he had rightfully described, like, I didn't want to fight him because I was scared. That was the truth the entire time.
Yeah. Nobody wants to get into a fight unless you're the guy that knows you can kick somebody's ass.
Well, that's the thing, Miles. Like, I am not confident in my striking ability at all.
Me neither.
That's not my territory.
No, I can swing 20 times and not hit you.
I can grapple, but this dude was like a middle school city champ in wrestling, and I just was not going to take my chance.
And that's the guy that you have conflict with.
You don't want to get on the ground with that guy.
No.
No, exactly. Yeah, through, exactly. Ran my mouth to that guy.
Yeah, and I always kind of thought, and this is stupid, but at the time, this is, in those days of fighting, it was way before, like, MMA or any of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for me, like, when we would get into it with guys who were wrestling at the time on the team, my one buddy Tim, his buddy was a wrestler. Tim was a wrestler. Tim beat my ass every day, no matter what. But Tim never went to the ground. He stood and punched. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I stood and punched back. So when his buddy and I got into a fight, his buddy picks me up by my legs and slams me to the ground. I'm like, that's not fighting.
Right, what are you
doing? That's not fighting. That's not the rules. The rules are we stand up and we just punch each other in the face until we're done. And so, like, I was adamant about that. Like, boxing was the thing. This is not how you fight. Like, at that age.
How old? Because I remember there was always
like
rules.
Grade, get, right. 12 years old, 13
years old. You could be super pissed. You are going to scrap. It's the middle of the hall. Books have been dropped. The crowd is there. And then there's that quick list of rules. Hey, man. Nobody kicks each other in the gym. Right, right, right. No hair pulling. Yeah, sure, man. I got that. And that dude's got glasses. Like, you got to take him off.
Hey. Yeah. Nice shirt comes off. So if you have
don't
like
rip the buns on my shirt.
Yeah,
right?
Seriously. No, you just take it off.
You like, cover all of the things where your parents might get mad at you. Like, right. Okay, now let's fight.
People would take their Casio watches right. off so nothing happened to them.
Right.
You're like, you're stripping
down. Because my mom will kill me
exactly,
if I break the
man.
Watch.
If I do something to this shirt, like this was the one shirt that I wanted for Christmas. I'm wearing it today, but I didn't expect to get into a fight. So can I take this off real quick?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still, like, obviously you shouldn't get in a fight.
Right.
But I was always of the adage, like, I'm getting my ass beat and there's a brick on the ground. I'm a use.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, if you're getting your ass beat, I mean, the first time I had to save my life, kid named Rourke Pacino, that was his name. And third grade, won't even get why it happened. But anyway, this dude was kind of the bully, elementary school. And whatever went down at recess went down. But his thing was, because you know, I rode my bike to school at that time. And he goes, I'm meeting you at the bike racks after school. And I'm just like, whatever, man. I keep in mind, I am sweating bees the rest of the day.
It's the worst feeling. Time stops.
He's such a big, thick dude. And I understood, like, first of all, there's no place I could possibly hit this guy to do damage. You know what I mean? Like punching dough. So I go out. I'm getting my bike. My buddy Scott Forsyth is there. I remember him unlocking my bike. Rourke's a no-show. So I'm just like, all right, cool. But that's not how I'm planning it, of course. I'm like, yeah, little bitch. I knew he wouldn't show. And then my buddy Scott points. He says, hey, man, here comes Rourke. Scott leaves. All right, so Scott rides home.
Scott's out.
And now here's Rourke, and here's me, and I'm like, oh, my God. And there's no way I'm talking my way out of this. We're going to throw down. And the only other person was there was this girl named Ingrid, who was kind of cute. I didn't realize she liked me until I heard her kind of cheering for me in this fight. Now, there was no real fight that was happening here. Homie hits me, man, and I mean crushes me, right? And I'm going down, but at the time, I had a lunchbox. Back then, they were made of metal. Not aluminum, they're made of metal. So dude is working me over. There's no question about this. And I take this blind swing with my Space 1999 lunchbox and clock homie right in the head. And I mean, he just drops like a sack of potatoes, man. So I unlock my bike, hop on it, ride the hell home. Like, I ride home as quick as I can. My mother, of course, because parents see everything. As soon as I walk in the house, what happened to your lunchbox? I did not tell her because, you know, parents hear you fought. They lose their freaking mind, especially moms when it's their son. So I'm like, oh, I just dropped it, you know, riding. I'm like, be careful on the bike. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So the next day when I go to school, I'm like, Rourke's going to kill me. Like, that, I have no doubt. And I'm just dreading walking into this class. He never brought up this fight again. But when I got to school, everyone thought that I was his badass because Rourke has this massive black eye because of my Space 1999 lunchbox, all right? All of my pain is on my, like, if I lifted my shirt.
It's on the inside, like a karate man.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't laugh. I couldn't barely breathe. I mean, he beat the living. But visually, it looked like I knocked him the F out. So now I got all this respect in school. And I remember he would mean mug me all the time, but he wouldn't say anything. And all I could think is, I'm bringing my lunch to school
every day. Lunch for me.
Nothing, man. And don't drink anything out of the thermos. I want the extra weight in case Rourke comes back. But I look good.
I was always so jealous about the parents that used to pack their kids really good lunches every day, and we'd have to eat the crappy lunch in the cafeteria. Because they'd have
ho-hos, chips, cookies.
I would get a Skippy pudding. That was the thing.
That's still good.
A Skippy pudding, my mother would always say the same thing, because it had that pull tab top, right?
Or if you licked it on the inside, you cut your lip.
Because you got to cut your I licked the living hell out of that thing every day.
I fight the urge now.
Well, dude, I still do it.
What's a pack of pudding?
don't ask me that again. Like, when you take the top off of something, like,
you got to,
right? It's like instinct.
Men's Room Blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421 Ron.
I guess pack and pudding.
Hello, Jacob. Welcome to the Men's Room.
So probably about my brother bought a brand new motorcycle, brand new Harley Davidson Sportster, like 2 weeks off of the line. And I was in the garage one day, like, oh, I'm gonna hop on it. Oh. I hopped on and dropped in, busted his turn signal and dented his tank.
Ooh! And what did you do?
Were
after
you
this?
Able to get that bike up?
Yeah, I was able to get the bike up. I polished the tank. I polished everything. My brother didn't know about it for about 7-8 years. He found out a couple years ago.
Did he find out, or you told him?
What, did you replace the blinker on the bike?
We had extra in the garage.
Okay. All right. Well, that's handy.
did you come clean and tell him, or did he figure it out?
I came clean and told him after about 8 years.
Okay. Does he still ride Harleys?
No, we all ride still, but we all kind of quit after a while after having kids.
That's yeah, exactly. I can hear why in the back.
So you still don't have a motorcycle at this moment?
No, I don't. I just have a badass truck.
Okay. Yeah, you had to turn it in. Hey, man, there's a lot of people who make that rule.
Not a regular truck.
Yeah. No, it's a bad. He wants to be clear. Like, mm-hmm. I still want a motorcycle, therefore my truck is badass.
Men's Room blank question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Yes, thank you.
Hola.
You're welcome.
So I am 45, and I'm finally really willing to admit the terrible story of Freckles the dog.
Oh, no. Freckles the dog. Damn, man. So, you had to give it a name and everything.
Well, it was not my dog. And I grew up in Olympia and in a nice neighborhood, and there was a lady there who cut the kids' hair in the neighborhood, as things used to be. And she had a dog named Freckles, a nice little spaniel mix. As kids did back then, somehow I was just walking around in the morning one day with a little Ziploc bag full of cookies and snacking on them and just walking around. And Freckles was there, and, you know, Freckles was pretty interested in my cookies. And so I thought, well, I'm going to finish my cookies, but there's some crumbs in the bottom, and I'm going to let Freckles have the crumbs. Well, every time Freckles stuck his muzzle into the bag, it would just kind of flop off, and I thought I'd help him by just sticking the bag over his entire muzzle.
Oh, Jesus.
So he could have the crumbs. And the next day, he was dead. I saw him on the ground with the bag over his muzzle, and the haircut lady was crying and everything. And she said, oh, you know, he must have gotten into the garbage. I don't know how this happened. And, of course, I did that, but I didn't of course, admit to that because I was a little kid and I had killed the neighbor's doggy, and she continued to cut my hair for a few more years.
Did you?
But, yeah.
Did you feel remorse? Like, did you go home and cry? Did you have any emotional attachment, reaction to this situation, or were you like, oh, God, I killed Freckles the dog?
I was more worried about getting in trouble than I felt bad. Even though Freckles was a perfectly nice dog, I didn't really, you know, I understood now how you can kill a dog.
Well, yeah, so put a bag over its head.
I learned my lesson.
That could happen to humans, too.
No, I don't think I cried.
Okay.
No tears for Freckles, huh? I mean,
well,
your heart was in the right place, man, but damn, you killed Freckles.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, cookie crumbs. I mean, I don't know. You know how it was, right? Gen X kids growing up, feral, you know, you just do what you do.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I never put a bag over her dog's head.
Nobody finds out and whatever.
I hear you. Just...
How many crumbs did you think were in there? Why don't you take the bag back off poor Freckles?
Well, he ran away.
Oh, he ran with the bag.
I got it over his muzzle, and then he was gone and, like, seemed to enjoy himself. So I was, like, on my way looking at the, you know, whatever else was down the street.
Freckles was trying to scream for help. He's having a good time.
I know. Well, now that once I got older, I can only imagine the terrible death that he experienced.
Yeah, he suffocated. And, you know, he suffocated trying to eat a Chips Ahoy.
Right.
Now, have you... when you have you since that point in time, have you seen a similar breed or another dog that looked like Freckles and it reminded you of that one special day there?
I'm more of a cat guy.
I think you've proven that already.
Good care of them. And I would certainly, you know, I mean, dogs can be fun and cute and all that, but, you know, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. Really. Have you killed anything else in your lifetime?
I've killed chickens. Yeah.
Okay, how many chickens have you killed?
probably like 20 or 30.
Is that, would you work
just
on a farm?
Raising them for meat and
Okay, that's a little different.
All right, did you
put duct tape around his beak, so.
I was going to say, did you just cover his head in a Glad sandwich bag, or did you actually chop the neck off?
Yeah, no, I was pretty as kind as possible, you know.
Did you not have a cone?
I did have a cone.
Okay, so, well,
yeah,
that's better
upside,
than that.
Upside down road cone, and once the head's off, stuff them in there, and they flop around. I'll tell you this, though, a lot messier than I thought. Don't wear jeans you ever want to wear again.
No.
When you're killing chickens.
In case you're killing chickens.
I spent an afternoon doing that with my buddy at his grandmother's.
You know, Levi says that in a commercial. Levi jeans. Mm-hmm. Don't wear them into killing chickens. But otherwise, a fine, fine piece of dinner. I feel bad for Freckles. I never met that dog, but.
Once the dog had a cute name like Freckles, I was like, this isn't going to go well.
But he wouldn't stop saying it, which made it worse. He would never just say the dog. It was always Freckles.
And the next day I saw Freckles just laying there.
Men's Room Blank Question. Once enough time had passed, I finally admitted to doing blank. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Wes. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hey.
Hola.
I'm for Freckles right now.
I know, man. I think everyone's going to drink for Freckles tonight.
Don't worry about it. He's a cat guy.
No, so basically I got in trouble. I didn't necessarily get in trouble, but I was in Hawaii. I was just stationed there, brand new E5, a NCO that stepped into the unit, and I was running around on post into my little white Jeep Wrangler that I had. And as I came to this crosswalk, this person was running, and I went to go slow down, and it seemed as though that they were just going to, like, you know, go past it, not actually go through the crosswalk. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll just keep going. And as I went, she did a right face real fast and just stopped. And like, well, she didn't stop. She started leaning into the crosswalk, and I'm like, oh crap. And so I kind of swerved a little bit to the left, and I went around, and I was like, you know, kind of like, I waved my hand for a second, and then she kind of threw her hands up at me, like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, forget you. So I flipped her off. And, it was like one of these moments where I'm like, all right, whatever. And so I was, you know, hindsight, you know, shouldn't have done that type deal. But then I'm, hanging out about a week or two later, my first sergeant called me into the office. And he's like, hey, how's it going? And he was kind of smirking at me. And I was like, you know, all right, well, what's going on? And he held out this memorandum for record and starts reading from it. And it's like, I so-and-so, so-and-so. And it was like, Brigadier General would like to make the following statement. And then on this date, and then it called off my license plate. And it says that he flipped me off in the drive, in the crosswalk. And he just kind of looked at me for a second. And it described, like, she couldn't tell, you know, the sex of the individual driving, like, basically male or female. And so pretty much I looked at it and I read through it, and I'm like, wow, I don't know for sure. My wife was borrowing the car, you know, that last week, so I'm not sure. So pretty much I blamed me flipping off like a Brigadier General on my wife.
You still married?
I'm still married, yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right, so it worked out all right.
And then, like, later on, probably about a year or two later, my same first sergeant, he would come up and kind of be like, hey, you can tell me that was you, right? And I kind of smirked at him, and you know, I was headed out, and I was like, Roger, first sergeant, that was me. He's like, I thought so. I did come clean about it, so.
Good times. You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.